This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Manscaped. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Check out the new website. Check out the new merch. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. We've got a lot of stuff going on over there. You're going to see some more videos and shows coming your way soon. Been working on some stuff here. Patreon, The Honeydew with y'all. If you haven't subscribed yet, it's $5 a month. And if you sign up for a year, you'll see, you'll get like over a month of, it is over a month of free episodes. So, it's $60 a year. It's less than that if you take the yearly option. And as I say all the time, yeah, I do know that's a utility bill. That's something. The country's on unemployment. So for those of you who have signed up, thank you very much for your support. Those of you who haven't, when you're ready, we're going to be doing it. All right. We've only been at it like 25 episodes and we're not going to stop. So thank you all for your support on that. Make sure you're over there on the Facebook fan page, thehoneydewpodcast.com, the merch, the Nightpants Nation sweats are flying out of here. You guys are the shit. It's cold now. Get your Christmas stuff. Get your Christmas merch. Nightpants. We sold out. Listen, thank you. We sold out of the pattern from the company. They were like, what the fuck's going on out there? And I was like, it's Nightpants Nation. That's what it is. Nightpants Nation. Got the hoodies. Got night shorts over there for you people to get hot still at night and shit. Now, if you live in L.A., you know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. So if you, your kids, anyone you know wants a music lesson, you can get them right here. You can go online classes from L.A. musicians. Go to SantaMonicaMusic.com. Use my code HONEYDEW. They'll waive the registration fee and they'll give you one free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right, there's the biz. Now, if you're returning to the show, thank you for your support. If you're new, what we do over here is we highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Today, no different. I know we're going to hear some crazy stuff, and I'm very excited to have her here, first time on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chelsea Skidmore, everybody. Welcome to The Honeydew, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. We've been talking quite a bit before we started recording, so I'm excited to sit down here and do this with you. But before we do, please plug, promote everything you'd like.
I have a podcast called The Chelsea Skidmore Show. You can get that everywhere you listen to podcasts. Check it out on YouTube. And check out my Instagram at Chelsea Skidmore, Skidmore Chelsea on Twitter. And I got some cool mugshot shirts right now for sale.
I did see that. Yeah. Are we going to hear about that story?
Yeah, we can tell. It's my mugshot from when I was 16 and got arrested. They're pretty cool shirts. They're super soft, $25 plus shipping. So head to my Instagram and place an order because they're super dope and everyone loves them. So
yeah, check
that out.
Yeah, they are great. Yeah. All right. So we've been talking. I didn't know much about your personal life or anything like that. I know your husband, Stephen Randolph, who, if you guys know his story, if you don't know, he grew boobs overnight. Go listen to that episode. It's a fantastic episode. I know a lot of you have actually reached out to him. He tells me he gets love all the time and has talked to people about getting the surgery and everything.
Yeah. I think like three guys who listened to the episode had contacted him and he kind of walked them through surgery. So that's cool. You know, definitely that's like super positive that he was able to help people out. And
And you guys seem like a good couple and a fun couple, so I always like seeing him.
We are. Our first date was a bukkake.
Yeah. That's what he told me. Tell him.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. He told me. I was like, there's no way. He's like, yeah. Because he told me that he would go watch them at first. And then he said, your guy's first date was... How does that even come about?
Well, he had worked for Big Brother magazine, which was the magazine before Jackass. And it started as a skateboarding magazine. And as a joke, they would go to Bukkake's. And he told me about it. And I was like, oh, that sounds so fun. Because I'm a very voyeuristic person. Like, I've never been on, like, the set of a porn shoot. I would love to direct a porn one day, honestly, just because I think it would be creative. I don't know. It seems fun.
There, what's holding you back? It's not like you couldn't find some people and do it.
I know. Yeah. I know. What, I know that you just really drove me now.
I really just feel like that's...
What's holding me back? I'm going to make calls at when
couple
I leave here.
Three COVID tests, and there's your threesome.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
What's the porn you want to direct? Is it male, female?
Oh.
Is it a bukkake? Is
it... No, not a bukkake.
You don't want to direct that?
No.
You don't want to direct
like,
14 guys?
It was dramatic. I honestly felt...
For who? For you? Yeah, no shit.
It was so sad. It was like...
That's why we talked about... I'm like, you're telling me that somewhere out there in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. downtown, there's a girl...
Chatsworth.
In the porn capital of the world.
Yeah.
In a warehouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's these guys that are doing this for money. And he's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it really feels like it's like the end of the road. You know,
yeah.
You feel like you're witnessing, you know, the end of someone's career. And so it has like that energy in the room. And on top of that, you're getting cummed on by 50 strangers. It's just like a bad 50? Vibe. It was just bad vibes.
That was your first date.
Because we thought it'd be a funny story. Yeah. We did it for the story.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what's the porn you would direct?
I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought yet, like right off the top of my head, but probably like a guy girl. And what I have noticed is that I hate just like the lame scripts. You know, there's a lot of bad writing in like porn. So I think I'd want to do something like a little more fun and creative. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought ahead of time, but I just think it'd be like fun to do.
All right.
Yeah.
You're definitely different. You're definitely different. So you definitely also have a wild past you've told
yes.
me about. So you're from Westchester, New York.
Yeah.
And are your parents still together?
No. They divorced when I was 10. I have a very eccentric, dysfunctional family, as most of us do. I realize that it's more common to not have a normal family.
Quote-unquote people.
Yeah. Or... Like, Stephen's family's pretty normal. And, like, I felt a little uncomfortable at first because I was like, are they going to think I'm insane? But it's fine. But, yeah, my mom was a model and my dad was a fashion buyer. And, so I grew up in, like, a very...
What sort of model was your mom? Like a runway model or print?
Editorial.
Or all of it?
Yeah, like print. She did some runway, too. But, like, a lot of, like, Gucci ads and stuff.
Okay.
And, cool shit like that.
Have you
traveled
seen those?
All over.
Do you have,
yeah. They're well. What she used to do is like, you know, like a parent would sit down with their child and like read like a book in front of the fire. She would show me her modeling portfolio. So she set me up from the beginning to just not feel good. You know what I mean?
Like, it's all about looks.
I swear to God, she rubbed it, and I don't think she meant to, but she like rubbed it in my face so much that I hated having my picture taken for my entire life because I just like never thought I would be good enough. You know, I just like my dad was like into photography, so he would always try to take pictures, but I never smiled in photos until I started dating Steven. I swear to God, my whole life.
How long ago was that?
So I've been smiling for 4 years.
How's it feel?
Good,
how's it feel
good,
to be among
good.
The smilers?
I turned out to have a nice smile.
You do have a nice smile.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's what people say. So I had these very dysfunctional household. My parents would fight a lot. And when they got divorced when I was 10, like, it made sense to me. Like, it didn't depress me.
Are you an only child, by the way?
No, I have a brother who's 2 years older.
Are you close?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I seem like the older sister. Like, I'm, like, very extroverted. I'm like my dad. Like, we're, loud, eccentric, like, driven kind of people. And my brother's very introverted, like my mom, kind of just more low-key. But my dad's, like, my parents, like, loved Studio 54. Like, my dad's obsessed with Quaaludes. Like, he looks like he is in the Rolling Stones. He has, like, a ton of, like a mop of, like, hair on his head. And, like, my mom grew weed when we were growing up, like, at our house. And, you know, my parents drank a lot every night. So, like, I felt like the supervision wasn't really there. So I started drinking like pretty early when I was 10.
At 10, what are you drinking?
The first
like
night, there was like an old, you know, the old liquor cabinet and just taking shots from that. We had like 11, me and my girlfriend, we had like 11 shots of some like disgusting alcohol. She woke up in my backyard. When we woke up the next morning, she was like, it had rained. There was dew on the grass. And she just woke up outside, and I had, like, broken all these dishes. My parents had no idea. They, like, never knew what I was doing. my dad would like pass out like drunk, and I'd like sneak into the city and take the train and take like ecstasy at
how
like
old?
Clubs. Like 15.
Good God. Are you serious?
But everyone did this. Like, so I grew up in Westchester.
Everyone you hung out with did this.
But so we lived in the suburbs outside the city. So there was nothing to do but like party in the woods and,
yeah,
you know, kegs and stuff.
That's how
like,
we had too.
Yeah. So, you know.
If someone's parents weren't home, we would try to go to that house.
Yeah.
If not, it was a field party.
Totally. Yeah. So like it was super normal. It wasn't like outrageous that. But I remember like I was at like a party when I was younger and like I drank and like no one else did. And I was like dancing on a table because I saw that somewhere when I was like 12 and like everyone was like concerned about me. So I realized I got like attention from doing that.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I didn't get attention growing up because my brother, he was dyslexic. So like back then, I feel like when you're they like put you in a special ed class if you can't read. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like if you're having trouble in school. I feel like today it's a little different. But like all the attention was like on my brother. So like I had to do everything that I did to like get my own attention, which was, you know, drinking and partying and acting out. And, you know, I was in the principal's office every day since I was like in second grade. I pulled the beard off Santa Claus. Am I going too far? I feel like I'm like just bouncing off every like.
In second grade?
Yeah, he visited. You know, there was like an assembly of Santa visiting.
Yeah.
So I went up, and when I got on stage, I pulled his beard down. And I said, "Everyone, he's fake." I got in so much trouble. I didn't get candy. Everyone got candy. I didn't get candy. So it was like shit like that. Like I was
ruining that dude's whole gig.
I was so bad. Yeah. I was so bad.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
All right. So you said you started drinking at 10. Does that mean that you continued or that was the first time you had alcohol? Did you actually continue to drink?
Yeah.
You
it
did.
Wasn't like a daily thing. It was when we could get alcohol.
But
so
you,
like
your first taste was 10 and you.
Yeah. Like it was probably like an every weekend thing or something up until. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't like a daily drinker in high school. It was like, you know, a couple of days a week.
I mean, I started probably 14 and it was like bullshit wine coolers and it was like if anyone could get it or whatever.
Yeah, we had like the room temperature Georgie vodka. what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, so your parents split at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you go to live with?
So we stay in our house and my dad moves to the city to his like bachelor pad where he had Playboy on demand. Which was like my first introduction.
Oh, that's where you're seeing that stuff? Dad, I gotta put locks
on my goddamn
TV. And
it was like always on. Do you remember that channel, Playboy on?
Yeah, of course I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, it was like always on. And oh, and also, so my mom was obsessed with Howard Stern. You know, so growing up, like, that was, like, what we listened to on the way to school. Like, we didn't have, like, the Disney CDs.
Right.
Like, we listened to Howard. So, like, I'm just, like, explaining. I'm setting up why I am the way I am for your
listeners.
You're
doing a great job.
Because I want to make an excuse and be like, no, look, like, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one is paying attention to me. And we just, like, had all this, like, sex stuff going on. Not in, like, not like I was watching my parents fuck, but
no,
you know what I
mean. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's around. It's the...
It was around. It was
it's
my...
It's the Playboy. Yeah. But also, that you also have sex... those print ads are sexy. You know, it's a lot of beauty and looks and extrovert, you know, a lot of cleavage, all that skin showing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what your mom did on the runway, but some of these chicks on the runway today got dental floss on and shit. You know, you're damn.
Yeah, lingerie shoots and stuff. And like, again, like we had like a very superficial family. Like, we loved like going out to like, you know, like all the nice restaurants and traveling and fashion week and stuff in Europe and
but
all
it
that.
Sounds like, and maybe I'm wrong, but at least sounds like body positive and maybe a little bit too early, too young, but yeah, it's around and it's easily accessible.
Yeah.
They're not putting the locks on the adult codes and shit on
no,
the TV.
No, it was just on. Yeah. Like if we turned on the TV, it was on. Like he didn't even.
Because that's the channel he turned off when he went
exactly.
to bed.
Exactly. And I would think about that. I was like, oh my God, he was just watching that. And then when he would come, that's so funny that you say that. Because I was always like, why didn't he hit last?
Well,
and
my
I would
daughter
check last.
Bust me on, not on that, but like. She thinks that every night I go to bed with her. When mm-hmm. she falls asleep, if I don't fall asleep mm-hmm. next to her, I get up and I go watch Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
And she'll see that it's on my Netflix profile and she'll mm-hmm. turn it on and she'll look at me. She'll be like, you were out here watching TV last night. And I go, how do you know? She's like, it's on your profile. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've yeah. gotten busted on that.
We're
yeah.
leaving
but
footprints.
Not porn.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like when he would stay at our house for the weekend, like, he'd order it, too. So it would just be on the TV. If I turned on the TV, it was just always on. Like, if he was around, it was on. And he started going to strip clubs, too. And I would hear them fighting about it. And I remember being, like, 16 and, like, having the thought, like, I want to be a stripper when I grow up. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I remember it, like, photographically. Just, like, I was sitting in my bed and I heard them fighting. And I was like, oh, like, that's how you get attention. Like, he's over there doing that, and my parents are fighting about it. It must be something important. So, like, it, like, sunk into my head, and I was always like, that's so weird that I would, like, think that. Like, why would I want to do that? I'm like, I don't know. It just seems fun. So, like, the idea of being, like, a bad girl who was, like, wild was very attractive to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But at age 15, you said, you told me you started doing cocaine.
Yes.
Now, who introduces, like, where do you find it? Who introduces you to it? And what made you not scared to death to do it?
Well, I always wanted to do coke. I just knew I can't do heroin. For some reason, I was always like, you can't do heroin.
At 15, you knew you always wanted to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was already like, you know, I started smoking weed when I was 12. I was smoking like blunts with PCP and stuff.
What?
Yeah, and blunts
at
with 12? Like crack in them.
Crack?
Like 14, 15.
Who's, where are you getting that?
Weren't they called woo bangers?
I don't know what you, we had, my brother, I tell a story on my album about my brother smoking it with a friend, a cousin on PCP, and what did they call it there, Sherm or something mm-hmm. like that, and it, Cocoa Puffs, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Paul, the PCP.
Yeah, the first time I smoked PCP, we were at this random guy's house, and his mom was a professional clown. And she came
just like
and
us.
And when I was high, she came home in the getup, and I was just like, there was a woman with like huge shoes, and like he was like grilling an iguana, like on the. It was like nuts. Like it was just weird.
Did you say grilling an iguana?
Yes, it was like so horrible.
What the? Where the fuck
it was
were
so
you?
Scary. Just like some weird, like the next town over, kind of like weird shit like that. But so I was always experimenting with drugs, hanging out with like weirdos and stuff, you know, drinking like, Robitussin in school and getting high.
Is that where you're meeting these people? High school or no?
Yeah, like through like people
friends
in
that
high school.
Way. Okay.
Like the weird kids. Mm-hmm. I hung out on the trail where everyone smoked cigarettes kind of thing. Yeah, I was like, you know, one of those kind of like outcast kind of kids.
So you're weed at what, 12?
Yeah.
Cocaine at 15. Who introduces you to cocaine?
Jordan. I would say his last name, but like whatever.
No, yeah, don't.
Yeah, so he was like the druggie of the school, like the number one like bad kid. And I knew he was doing coke and I was like, oh, I want to do it. So I remember I skipped like the last class I had, which was art. You know, you remember all those little things. And we went to like a complex that was behind the school, and we did like lines of coke on like the playground or something. And then I was like, I want more of this. And I didn't even really remember getting high because I think he was cutting it and like charging me money for it, but I just kept buying it either way. And then I would do it all the time by myself, like all the time, and no one knew I was doing it, and I really loved having that secret.
Really? How much are you doing?
Like a bunch of line, you know.
Daily?
It's like you're in high school, yeah.
Before school?
In school, during school, after school.
In school? Where are you going to do it in school?
I loved doing it in school. So my thing was I'd go in the bathroom.
Look how you light up about
it. Did I? My mouth is salivating. Can you hear it? I'm like, can
I
you
can,
hear?
Yeah. You perked up. You're like, I love doing it in school.
Coke excites
me. Coke probably would have made
I'm
school more.
I'm swallowing so much saliva right now. I'm like, can you hear it? It's going to sound like a Tim and Eric thing. Just like. I was doing it in the bathroom. And then I had that Rolling Stones 40 Licks album, which was like all the hits. And I would listen to like She's a Rainbow, High on Coke, walk around in the hallway. And I felt so fucking cool. You know?
What? How would you do it?
Just like...
In the stall? And
yeah, in the stall, like off like a textbook or something. You know, some cute high school shit.
And you never got caught.
Well, okay. So a girl, I don't know how this happened, but some girl who was in my brother's like special ed class.
This bitch.
I know. Fucking bitch. What was her name? Stephanie or something? She either saw me or heard me doing coke. I don't know. But she told my brother and he told my mom. And that day she picked me up from school and took me straight to the doctor's and he drug tested me. And he goes, she has a lot of coke in her system. So they were trying to like figure
out. Right
there,
like right from school she took you?
Yeah. It was like, I didn't know
what was
going to happen.
What was that drive like?
I didn't know what was going on. She's like, we're going to the doctors. And I was like, okay. Like, I was just, like, always, like, high. Like, I would put, like, nicotine patches on to, like, get something out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I was just always kind of, like, out of it. Just, like, chilling and just, like, So we went there and got tested. So then my parents were like, we have to do something about Chelsea because, you know, she just keeps getting in trouble. And now she's doing coke. And, So they sent me to boarding school in Switzerland because we had like a family friend who was going there.
Switzerland.
But it's like there's no drinking age there.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So they sent me to this like super expensive
school. So wait,
that's
the immediate decision is they pull you out. You're what, sophomore, 16?
Yeah. I was 15.
15.
Yeah.
And they pull you out of school.
Mm-hmm.
What month? Like what semester are you in?
I did the second semester.
So they sent you to Switzerland for a full semester.
Yeah. I was there for like 8 months.
And it's a boarding school?
Yeah. It was the American school in Switzerland. So it's all like super rich kids whose parents are like diplomats and, you know, super wealthy, like political people. And
so
all
were
that.
You guys, I mean, your parents, your mom was obviously sounds like a successful model and your dad, were you guys pretty well
we
off?
We were upper middle class.
Upper middle class. Okay. So you could afford you could afford boarding school in Switzerland for
we could afford one semester.
One semester for one kid. Yeah.
My grades were so bad. They're like, you're not going back there.
Okay, so what happens over there?
So I get there and it was just like a free for all. I mean, like, there's no drinking age in Europe. It was just chaos. We can check out for the weekend and go to Italy.
No.
Yes, it was crazy.
So it's worse.
Yeah. I got, like, alcohol in Lake Lugano and, like, fell in the lake and, like, was, not captured and saved. It was just, like, you know, no supervision. But they would do, like, breathalyzing tests sometimes. So we'd, like, someone said, like, if you eat a stick of butter, like, it takes
I
away.
I love all these. Yeah. Does that work, though?
So, I don't know.
That made
so,
you fucking
I can't
throw
remember.
Up all
so
over
we would
the place.
Eat, like, sticks of butter if we found out we were on the list. Then, like, they were supposed to do drug testing. And when we got there, I was like, oh, I didn't know that this was going on. I've been smoking weed. So I'm going to need 4 months to clean it out of my system. And then I just kept, like, getting out of it. So I never was drug tested. So I was the only one who was, like, doing coke there. I would walk around and, like, get it in the town from people.
How
like,
you?
People walked around and, like, had it in their mouths wrapped in saran wrap. And you'd be like, bomba, bomba, which is Italian for coke, because we're in the Italian section. And then they would just give it to me, and I remember.
Out of their mouth like that?
Yeah. I think because they want to swallow it if, like, a cop
comes. Yeah.
And then I remember just, like, doing, coke off, like, the toilet in McDonald's. And I know, on the back, too.
That
it's
is
so
disgusting.
Gross. I know. Now it's gross. But when you're 15, you're excited to do coke. You're not, like, thinking about that it's on a fucking toilet, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're too much. All right.
Yeah.
So, do you come back worse, then?
I came back. Oh, so this is the thing. So before I went, I was anorexic. Like, I weighed like 80 pounds.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I was super skinny. Guys didn't really pay attention to me. I was kind of just like a crackhead, you know? And then when I came back, I had gained probably like 15 pounds.
Okay.
I had dyed my hair blonder. And all of a sudden I was hot. And I came back with, like, boobs, and, like, I was, like, a different person. You know, and then I came back from, like, Europe. So I had, like, a cool factor. And then I was in, like, a different group of friends after that. So I come back, and now I'm partying with the popular girls and, you know, hanging out and smoking blunts and shit.
Are you still doing the same? Sure, you're still doing coke?
And, yeah.
You're doing all that.
Yeah, but more so, like... Coke, weed, and drinking. And
so, what
that.
Was your parents' attempt to send you to this boarding school? Was to get you clean and sober?
I don't know. I think it was more like you need a change from your environment. Because it was around the time that people were sending kids to like Outward Bound programs and shit like that. Remember that? But I'm grateful I didn't go to those because you hear a lot of bad stories about those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you're back, you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
Do you start date? So at this point, you look different. Do you start dating now? And now are the boys paying attention?
It was more like guys would hook up with me, but like I never had a boyfriend until I was 18.
Was when that
I
lived by in choice?
No, just like no one would be my boyfriend. I don't know. Like I liked guys, but for some reason they just, I don't know. I don't know what it was about me. Maybe I was too wild and I don't know. I don't know.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
16.
See, I got to say this. I was 15. I was about to be 16, but I was 15. And I feel like for your wild past, I feel like that's a responsible
I know.
Age.
I was like the last
one. Because
I'm
surprised that if you started drinking and shit at 10, yeah.
It was. I was kind of, I wasn't like prude, but I was. Like, I feel like all my friends were like fucking and stuff, and I just, like, didn't really have anyone to have sex with. I was a little, like, picky with my taste. Like, I liked a certain type of guy.
What was the guy? What kind of guy?
Well, I was, like, in love with this one guy. And to this day, I'm like, why didn't you like me back?
You asked him?
No. Oh. I just, like, sometimes I think about it. I'm like, what was wrong with me? Do you ever, like, have that still?
I just, like, a year ago, 2 years ago, I had a girl who's married now, and we're all friends and stuff, and she is gorgeous. And back in the day, there was a little something, and she said to me, what was wrong with me? Like, why didn't you ever? And I was like, huh? She's like, I would have been. And I was like, you would have? But I just, I don't know. Sometimes we're guys, like, we just don't fucking see it. You know what I mean?
No, he knew.
He did.
I was like obsessed with him. But like we would hook up, but then I ended up becoming best friends with his sister. And then when I got arrested for throwing a party, I had to go to this outpatient rehab and I had to pee in a cup. And I didn't know anyone who had clean pee. The only person who I knew would have been a child. So I went behind the guy I liked back and I asked his youngest sister for her pee. And after that, he never fucked with me. Can you imagine why?
Like, I don't know why.
I guess that did it.
How old was his younger sister?
Like 10. I was like, can I have some of your pee, please? I still feel like it was kind of wrong of me. But I like gave her a canister. I did it behind everyone's back. It was pretty scummy.
Yeah, I think it might be the reason.
Yeah. Okay. And he had a foot fetish. So I was like 16 and I'd be like, what do you want to do? And he'd be like, you know what I want to do. And then I would just cut to me like giving him a foot job, like in a basement. Like it was horrible.
That was it? That was
pretty much
thing?
Yeah, it was weird. A lot of weird fetishes. Like I watched a guy friend of mine like fuck a balloon when I was 16.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just feel like it's weird to see a balloon and a foot fetish in the same year when you're 16.
I was and like, lose your just, virginity. Yeah
but it's like anyone
year.
Else just like having normal sex?
You know? I watched a friend fuck a vacuum. So,
okay, yeah. That's fun. Wow.
Yeah. He had his, I've told the story, but I was, you know, washing my hands and I heard the vacuum on and I heard it go vroom, and I look in and he just has his dick stretched. I mean, it is dangerously thin. And he has got it out like here, and I'm like,
that's horrible.
It was, I thought it was going to slice off, and I had to tell him. I had to yell, get your dick out of my grandma's vacuum.
Did you try it?
That fuck no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
That sounds painful.
It was an old Hoover, too, that was metal. I really thought it was going to slice his dick off. Yeah. But then he continued. He told me he would fuck his dad's shop vac and stuff like that.
Yeah,
while his dad's working in the garage, got cum in it and shit. I'm like, ew, you're fucking disgusting. It becomes
that's
a thing.
Gross.
He said.
Yeah, it becomes an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I had that with my electric toothbrush. I'm like, did my mom think I was brushing my teeth that much?
Wait, what?
Like, you know, when you find, like, your first kind of like, oh, this vibrates.
You've masturbated with your electric
toothbrush? Yeah, on the back of it, though. Not the bristle.
I get it. Not the bristle. That would be insane.
The flat part. But I did that all the time in high school. I was, like, addicted to it. I was so addicted to it that I got nervous. And I was like, I have to stop or this is going to ruin, like, my sensory.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You are hilarious. Okay, all right, so we lose...
There's a lot to cover.
Yeah, there's a lot. Let's talk about losing your virginity. Would you say it was a normal experience? The age range, I think, is normal.
Yeah, so it was with my brother's best friend. which I think really fucked him up.
Your brother?
I think it really hurt him.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same after that.
Yeah.
I feel bad. But it was at his friend's place, who was like the wealthy kid in school, and he had like a triple keg party. And we went upstairs to his room, and he put on the Paris Hilton sex tape. I guess he had it on VHS, One Night in Paris.
Yeah, but that's like your background.
It sucked. It was horrible. And like people used to say, call me Paris, because my hair was lighter. And that was around the time Simple Life was on.
Yeah.
And I think I, you know, was kind of drawn to it. So I was extra like dumb and stuff because I thought it would get me, you know, attention. So it just felt like very strange that he put that on. And then I was like, you're taking my virginity. And he's like, no, I'm not. And I was like, yes, you are. And he's like, no. So then he
denied it?
Yeah, all my clothes were still on. It was, like, horrible. And then when he left and then comes back, he, like, went to the bathroom and comes back in. I'm, like, waiting for him in the bed. And he goes, you're still here? It made me feel so bad.
Oh, my
God. I know. It was horrible.
And then you had sex.
No, no.
Oh,
that was after.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I thought he was going to be my boyfriend after that.
You're still here is what you heard?
He goes, oh, you're still here? I was like, I'll leave. Yeah, I felt very unwanted.
And that's your brother's best friend?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. What a scumbag.
Yeah, that's a real dick. I mean, I don't think anybody's first time is, like, great, but at least you could be nice about it.
Well, this girl told me that,
how old was he, by the way? Sorry.
Like, a year older.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but you hear other stories. Like, a girl was like, oh, like, my boyfriend, like, spread rose petals everywhere and sent me a bath, and we listened to Mariah Carey. I was comparing myself to that, and it was like did not work. That made me feel like shit.
I got a you're still here.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that's one way. Here's another. You know.
Oh my God. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Manscaped. Now the holidays are here. I hope you've made your wish list. If you haven't, our sponsor today has the number one wish for gift of the year, Manscaped, the best in men's below and above the belt grooming. Manscaped is here to ensure you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with their new performance package. Naughty or nice, tis the season to perform. All right, if you got to be performing right now, then you need to trim it up, dudes. I don't know. I've used some of those other cutters and stuff, man. You should not have bloody underwear from just trying to shave your balls. You shouldn't, and you won't with Manscaped, all right? You are in luck because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person could find. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360 degree rotary dual blade system. I don't even think I had a weed whacker that good back in the day. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Why not use the best tools for the job here? This bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy it, and the women will love you for it. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and your friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Who doesn't like toned balls? Who doesn't like toned balls at the holidays? Get the Performance Package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy. Now, let's get back to the dude. Okay, so after that, do you start dating more? Do you get promiscuous or do you not?
I was like the slut of the group. So like I think around this time it became pretty clear that I couldn't handle my alcohol. I would get like the most drunk out of everyone.
What are you drinking?
Like 40s of like malt liquor. So I would drink like 240s of like Colt 45 or whatever. And then I would just get deuced out. Do you remember that term, deuced out?
No.
I thought it was an East Coast term.
But you're also younger, way younger than me.
Yeah. So anyways, I would just like hook up with like multiple guys in one night. Not like fucking, but I'd like make out with one guy and then I'd like, you know, get fingered by like another guy or something. But I didn't really have any boyfriends until I moved to Hawaii and I went to college there. It was the only school I got into.
What school?
First I went to Chaminade, University of Honolulu, and then I transferred to the University of Hawaii, the bigger school. But I started dating a guy there who was like 9 years older than me, and he was bipolar and alcoholic. He was really bad. And we had like a really crazy, like Sid and Nancy type relationship. It was just like really dark. Like all we did was like fight and fuck. I put that in quotes because he had like a band, and I think that was like one of his songs.
Fight and fuck?
Yeah. You know, like you get it. He was like a surf instructor, he had a huge dick. Huge,
like huge. Like, emphasizing huge,
like a liter, like Evian bottle.
Come on,
yeah.
Good God,
huge. Do you like how I chose Evian and not Poland Spring?
I do. I like that. I like that. I thought you were gonna go Fiji for Hawaii, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, true, true, true. So yeah, so then we had like this fucked up relationship, and I wasn't getting the attention I thought I deserved. So I became a stripper
in Hawaii.
When I was 20, underage. And there was a girl who I was friends with who looked
like me. Yeah, I
guess so.
It's not, you don't have to be 18 there?
You have to be 21 because it was a full nude place. So I just used her ID.
Okay, so hold on because we're just jumping into stripping now and you're rolling right along here. What? You're not getting the attention you need. You had always thought back in the day you wanted to be a stripper. So what? Like what?
How did it happen?
Yeah, like. Did you know some strippers or something like that? Okay, that's usually how I feel.
So
like
there was like a really cool girl at my college. I went to like this really small private school, and there was a girl who stood out. She was like gorgeous. She had a nice car. She had really cool clothes, and like she was in one of my classes. And she was just like, I was just like, I want to be friends with her. You know, she was older. And then we hung out one day, and I was like, how do you have all this stuff? You know, like, I was very, like, naive, even though I thought I was very smart and from New York and, like, had all these experiences, like, of just, like, partying and traveling and was cultured. Like, I still was very dumb, you know? And she was like, oh, I'm a stripper at this place. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to do that. What do I have to do? And she was like, okay, go to Walmart, get, like a 12 by 12 or however the fuck the measurement is of faux fur, and then get a foam square and glue the foam onto the faux fur, and that's like gonna be your mat, because like you had to like walk around with a mat because you'd be on a stage in front of people and everyone had their like furry mat.
Like your own yoga mat or something.
There's like a furry square that you would put your knees on and dance on.
Okay.
So she, like, taught me about that and where to get an outfit and shoes from. And then she gave me, like, an old ID because we looked identical. And then I just got a job there. And I was already, like, an alcoholic at this point. And I knew that I had to be sober the first night or else I wouldn't get hired. So I literally drank every night and partied. And I was like, all I have to do is get through this one night because I wanted the job and I wanted to make money. And right before that, I had worked at Nobu for, like, 2 weeks being a hostess. And, you know, and I was always, like, into working and stuff. And my dad, he had lost his job. He had, like, a really high-paying job. And because of the, like, everyone firing for Chapter 11 in 2008, the financial crisis thing, it just like scared me, and I was like, I feel like I need to be independent now. You know, like I'm 20, like I don't need his credit card, and I want to make my own money. And I was like, okay, well, I'll be a stripper. Like, I'll make a ton of money, and I'll just like have a really fun life.
And you had no reservations about getting naked in front of strangers or any of that stuff?
It seemed like fun and exciting.
Okay.
And I had a good body.
Fair enough.
You know?
Fair enough.
And
yeah.
It just seemed fun. I don't know. It seemed fun. And
you weren't worried about like what people thought of you or people seeing you.
So it's my first night and I am called onto the stage. My name was Courtney because I wanted like a normal name. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking out. My song was The Dope Show, Marilyn Manson. And I'm walking out from the dressing room. No joke, 20 of my closest guy friends walk in at that very moment.
No.
I do not know how they were tipped off. Somehow they knew that I was going to be there. I don't know how until to this day, but they all, like, it was like a scene out of a movie. The song starts, I'm walking out, they're walking in, they sit right in front of me at the stage. I'm dead sober, and they're all like my best friends, and I just had to go.
And did you go?
Yeah, I fucking went. And like, I clicked into something, you know? It's like, you feel like you're like, I just like treated it like it was like a role in a movie. Like, I was not myself. It's like, you just become a character and you get this like extreme, like, confidence, and you're just like fucking, you become like super powerful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like a thing that people don't, or can guess, like, about strippers. It's like, you do click into this thing where you feel like you're like putting everyone like under a spell and that you have the control. So that was like, I feel like an addictive part of it too, because you just become this like powerful person, even if like in your regular life you don't feel that way.
So you're getting the power and the attention.
Yeah, and the money.
And the money.
And
yeah. Are they doing you right? Are they at least throwing singles your way?
Yeah, I made much fucking money, and they're like, "Wow, you have an amazing body," and I'm like, "Thanks." And it was fun. And
did they all hit on you after that?
One of them I ended up fucking. Not that night.
Just one.
But, you know, like, Hawaii was, like, a fun place because, you know, that was, like, during the time when they were, like, I don't know if they still do this, but, like, making it rain mm-hmm. and, like, you know, just throwing, like, piles and piles and piles of money at you, and people, like, they're on vacation and traveling and...
What's the best night you had money-wise? And how long did you strip? How many?
3 years.
3 years. And that was your job, like your main job for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I started in Hawaii and then I moved to New York City and then I was doing it there. I think the best night was probably like 1,200 or something.
Damn.
But that's like from being in private rooms and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. 1,000 something. Like less than, between 1,000 and 2,000. I can't remember.
You said there were some funny stories.
Well, okay. So around this time is like when I got really bad with coke too. And it got to the point in New York where I was so high on coke that I wouldn't even make money. I would just start freestyle battling customers.
What do you mean? At the strip club?
Wait. I got obsessed with freestyle battling. I was so good at it.
You're dressed like a stripper and you're just freestyle
naked.
Battling.
Naked. I was so good at it.
And what would you mean? What would you do?
I don't know. I'd be like so high on coke. I'd be like, give me a beat. Like,
and then you'd battle them, and if they
lost,
what? I
would just go up to, like, every black guy, you know, and just start, like, battling them. And, like, it was a trip, you know, to them. They were like, okay, like, you know, I'm sure it wasn't the way that I thought it felt.
This naked chick over here. His jaws unhinged. Fucking freestyle.
I was out of my mind. And I would, like, battle anyone on the street. Like, I'd walk down the street in New York and just start, like, freestyle battling people.
You got to get on the Breakfast Club. Or what? No,
what's that?
No, Sway. Sway's got the one with the freestyle.
Honestly, this is, like, I'm not making this up. I feel like when I do coke, I become incredible at it. But when I'm, it's like putting my, like, suit on, but, you know, like my mm-hmm. Spider-Man outfit. Because when I'm sober, I don't know if I'm good at it.
You want to drop one?
No. Right, no, 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 no. Oh, it's been too long.
Those days are behind me.
Yeah.
So you said you made me write a little notes down. You had presents also.
So
was
I would get
one.
Presents from customers, like, which I thought was just strange.
I always feel like the strippers I've known in the past always have regulars and
Yes. I had a lot of regulars.
But like some of these guys don't want to fuck, but they'll pay your bills, shit mm-hmm. like that. They just like to come see you, like you're their girl.
Yeah, there was one guy who like really liked hanging out with me, but he would just come and tell me about other girls that he was in love with. Like, I remember he printed out like a picture of a stripper from another club from like Google, and he would like talk about her like it was his girlfriend, but I knew it wasn't, you know, shit mm-hmm. like that. And he ended up buying me like Louboutins and shit. And you know, like I would meet guys, and like one guy bought me a Celine bag and like just brought it to me, and I never saw him again, like shit like that.
Yeah.
But like one time a guy was like, oh, I got you like a present, like, and I was super excited, and then I like took it out of the bag and it was like a double XL like rainbow wool turtleneck sweater from Macy's.
What the fuck? A double XL.
It was just like odd. It was so big and like so ugly. And I just had to like pretend I liked it. It was just like weird. Or like a guy who I would always go to like private rooms with would be like, oh, I got you a present. And I'd be like, yay, what is it? And then I'd open up like a brown paper bag and it would just be like a tub of KY. Like they're horrible presents.
Yeah, they're horrible presents. Good people though. Came from the right place.
It was gross.
What
let me catch my breath.
Did you ever dance at Scores or any of those?
Yeah.
You did.
So
because I was gonna say, I'm asking because you know why I'm asking. You're a big Howard fan, and that's how I even ever found out about Scores.
Yeah. So I danced at Scores West, which was the new one on
after they changed the laws or whatever, and they had to move out of
Giuliani.
Yeah.
So like Scores on the east side became Sapphire, and I went to Scores West because my dad lived on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if I am on the west side, he won't see me. But it was always a gamble.
Because he went.
Yes.
Right.
And so...
Did you ever see any of the Stern crew or anything come
mm-mm.
in? No.
Mm-mm. But two of my dad's friends, the first time, I was like so high on coke and so drunk. And I don't know how it happened, but I was talking to him, I think, about like life or wanting to work in fashion or something. And he was like, I know you. He was like, you're blah, blah, blah's daughter. And then I was just like mortified. And he goes, if you give me a dance, I won't tell your dad. And then I take off my dress and he goes, you look just like your mother. Isn't that horrible?
Oh, my God. He said that?
Mm-hmm. And then so I left that club and I went to Penthouse, which was
you near, left that club because of that?
Yeah, because I was like, there's too many people here who I might get caught.
But only one caught you so far.
Yeah, so then I went to this other club, Penthouse, and I was about to go in a private room with this guy and we were talking. And again, I was really high on coke talking, kind of the same conversation. He was like, I was with you at the Soho House last week with your dad. Like, we hung out all day at the pool. He was like, you don't remember me? He's like, I've been your dad's, like, closest friend for, like, 30 years. And I was just like, oh. And he got, like, so freaked out and, like, disgusted. And, like, I was like, please don't tell him. Please don't tell him. And he was like, I won't. And I was like, please, please, please. And then I left work and I got a text that said, you just broke my heart at, like, 4 a.m. And, like, I felt so bad. Like, all it said was, you just broke my heart. And it was like... Yeah, I didn't talk to him.
You're like, is this the guy that gave me the KY?
No, it's my dad. I didn't talk to him for like 2 months. I felt horrible.
You were just scared to talk to him?
I mean, what am I going to say? You know, I just went out that night and I just did coke all night for like days. And the good thing was, you know, I am sober now. So when I made amends to my dad for being a stripper.
And what did you do?
It was actually a nice experience to be able to, like, making amends is kind of an awkward situation. You have to sit across from someone and basically, like, apologize and be like, what can I do to make it right sort of thing. And, you know, I just basically was like, you know, I'm sorry that you went through that and that I embarrassed you and that our family and I'm really sorry, you know, that I did that. And he was like, thank you. And, like, I felt like it... like helped our relationship. Not that we had like a fucked up relationship, but just I think it was like a nice experience to share with him and to apologize because I could tell he like appreciated it.
What about your mom? How did she feel about it?
So she found out because I just had so much money and
you were banking, huh?
So, I mean, like I had like such a fun life, you know. I was just like always traveling and just I didn't have a job, so they're like, what are you doing? And then my mom's like, are you a stripper? And I was like, yeah. And then she...
So she knew before your dad?
Yeah.
She did?
I think so, yeah. And, yeah, she, like, this is so fucked up, but, like, she, like, let me borrow a pair of her earrings one night for work that were, like, super expensive. And then I, like, lost one of them, and she got really mad at me, and she, like, still talks about it to this day. But I just thought it was weird that she... like, didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I did coke with her on my 21st birthday.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Like, she...
Your mom, she's a model.
They
she
have
comes
bad
from that
boundaries.
Day. Yeah.
You know? Like, she has really bad boundaries. Like, she just tries to act like my friend instead of her daughter. So...
What about none of your brother's friends ever saw you
mm-mm,
or any
mm-mm,
of that, huh?
Mm-mm.
What did he think of it?
Who?
Your brother.
I don't think he, like, I think he knows, but I think he doesn't. Like, I remember he picked me up from, like, the airport when I was coming home from college. And
here,
he was like,
that mic a little closer to
and it. He was like, are you a stripper? And I was like, no. And he was like, all right. Anyways. And I was just like, so he never asked me about it again. He probably knows, but, like, we just never talked about it, you know, because I think it would hurt him too much.
So what, that's what, then you never went back after your dad found out, or did
you?
No, I
did. I worked at, I just kept club hopping. And then the place I stayed at was a place called New York Dolls, which was in Tribeca, where all the Financial District guys went.
And then what
made
you?
And that was like a seedy, like dark, fun place.
Yeah.
So I was doing that for a long time. And then I started dating a guy who I liked. And he was like, look, I really like you, but you're a stripper. I don't want to date a stripper. So I was like, okay, I'll stop. So I stopped and I got a job actually working for Gavin McInnes. You know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. He's the guy who, it's so weird to say this, but he is the guy who started the Proud Boys. But before that,
I know who he is.
Before that, he was the founder of Vice Magazine.
Yep.
And he had a production company and a online magazine that was like his second offshoot of Vice. And I worked for that magazine and that production company. Okay. And this is before he was like a weirdo. He back then was like, you know, respected in like the downtown New York like scene and like a guy from Vice, and a lot of people idolized him and stuff, and totally different person. So I worked for them at this production company.
And then what happened with the dude you liked?
We were together and then he just wouldn't commit to me. So I was just like, fuck this guy. You know, like it was 3 years and I just wanted to, I started doing stand up. He was like judging me and like didn't get it. And like he was kind of just like sucked and he was boring. And I got sober when I was dating him. And I was just like, I need to move to LA. I always wanted to live in LA. And I was 26 and I was like, I'm not going to stay here and just like waste my life like waiting for this guy who sucks, you know? So I moved to LA and started doing stand up. I got a job at the store. And yeah.
So tell me about this. When I hit you up initially, you're like, well, the number one story, I think. And I'm laughing because you're like, well, the number one story. We've got, you know, 45 minutes of stuff already. So tell me about this story. What happened to you?
Okay. So.
Because at this point, I'm sorry, let me just preface this. You're clean and sober for how long up until what you're about to tell me?
I was just 1 month away from hitting 3 years sober.
Wow. Okay. So you came to LA clean and sober and stayed clean and sober for a bit. Okay.
Yeah. And I was in a bad relationship with a comic at the store. And, you know, all my relationships up until, you know, this last guy before Steven, my husband now, have all been horrible. So I was used to just having like really toxic, dysfunctional relationships. And with this guy, like, it was really like the last one. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I was just done. And I had a feeling he was cheating on me. Do I have lipstick on my teeth?
I don't see it.
Okay.
No.
I had a feeling he was cheating on me. But, like, you know, like, when you try to convince yourself that they're not? Like, I remember I went to his place, and he had, like, a dark duvet, and there was, like, cum stains all over it.
Ew.
But, like, I hadn't been there in, like, 4 days. But it's, like, you convince yourself. It's, like, did that come from me? But it's, like, no, bitch, it didn't. Like, he was fucking, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of, like, things that I was, like, choosing to ignore and, like, in denial. But I felt like something was wrong. And he had tried to break up with me before. And, like, I was, like, kind of a crazy chick. Like, he, like, sent me an email randomly one day. And he was, like, I don't think it's working out anymore. Just, like, out of nowhere. So I drove to his house to talk to him. And he lived, like, because he lived, like, 5 minutes away. And he wouldn't answer. And I saw his little fucking shoes by the front door, and, like, his car was there, and I was so mad. I was, like, ringing his doorbell, like, fired up, and he wouldn't answer. So I went in his garage, and I saw a bag of dry cement, and his windows were down in his car, and I poured the whole bag of cement in his car. Did he go, woo? Dude, I was like, fuck him. Yeah. I just poured it everywhere, and I was like, fuck this guy. I was so mad. And we got back together after that, and he was like, LOL, you're kind of ghetto, like smiley face, just fucking loser. And so out of nowhere, you know, we were hanging out and he was supposed to pick me up from work. And like that morning, like we had sex like 7 times. It was like some weird manic shit, you know? And looking back, I'm like, oh, he was like saying goodbye. You know what I mean? Mm. And he was supposed to pick me up from work and then he just never came. And I was like, where are you? And like, he was like, oh, I'll pick you up from home. He just never came. And I just knew something in my gut was wrong. And he just stopped answering me. And he was reading my text messages and not writing me back. And like, we had plans to hang out. And like, we just had that like romantic morning together. And I was so confused, but I knew he was doing something. And it freaked me out. And I literally did not sleep the whole night. Like, I was just like, my head was just like going, you know? And I felt fucking nuts. And then finally in the morning, I talked to him and he was like, and I hadn't slept at all for like 12 hours. I felt super cracked out. And he was like, I cheated on you. And like, then he like came over and he was like, yeah, I came all over like a 19-year-old girl's stomach and I want to destroy our relationship. And like, you know, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. And like, I came all over someone else. And
he said that?
Yeah.
Isn't that
fucked up?
Yeah.
I know. He was like rubbing it in my face, like trying to push me away. And like something in that moment, like I just snapped. Like I just couldn't.
Listen, that would make a lot of good people snap.
Yeah.
And a 19-year-old girl fucking and in your face about it and shit. Like what the fuck?
It was sadistic.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
He was like a disturbed. He would fuck with me all the time. Like on the way to meet his parents, he like pulled over the car and he's like, just so you know, my family thinks you're trash. And then pulled back onto the road and started driving. And I was like, and no, and they like didn't talk to me when I'm like, he just did like a lot of like horrible things.
That's
to me.
Awful.
He was very awful.
Yeah.
I feel bad for any girl who, the girl after me who dated him killed herself.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
That's real?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Do you know
shit.
What I'm referring to?
I don't.
I'll tell you after.
Yeah, please.
Because
of that guy?
Hmm?
Because of that guy?
I think so, yeah.
And the treatment?
Everyone kind of knows that. You know what
Holy
I mean?
Holy fuck.
He's very disturbing. He's like a sociopath. But anyways, so the second he told me that, something just snapped in me. I couldn't bear it anymore, and I just had to drink, you know? Like, I just could not feel my feelings. So I drove straight to the liquor store. I was just, like, on one, like, blinders on, like, had to get alcohol in my body and, like, not feel what was going on. Because I think what it was a whole lifetime of, like, darkness.
Everything we've just listened to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every bad relationship, not feeling enough, you know, not feeling lovable. Like, everything hit me at once, just, like it, like, turned something in my head. So I went to a liquor store and I was like, oh, what should I get? Like, I haven't drank in 3 years. I got Coors Light, which everyone makes fun of me for because I hadn't drank in 3 years. And that's where I picked up where I left off because I drank Coors Light when I did coke, you know? It's like
I'm
easiest
the same
to drink.
I mean, it's an easy drink when I smoke weed, yeah.
Yeah, so I got...
It's watery.
Totally. Yeah. So I just want to pound water, you know? Yeah. So I got that and a thing of Smirnoff Ice.
How many Coors Lights? How much did
you drink? A 12-pack of Coors Light and a whole bottle of Smirnoff.
You drank all that?
Raspberry, yeah. Just
Holy
start pounding
shit.
It.
Shit.
Yeah, you pick up where you leave off.
Yeah, a 12-pack and that?
Yeah, so
And where are you?
I'm at home. So he comes over.
But you're not, okay.
He comes over and I don't remember anything. I just black out and I guess, like, over the course of the night, like, I was hanging out with him, and then I think I started, like, attacking him. I, like, broke his glasses off his face and, like, you know, all that shit. So my friend came over to, like, take over, and then she slept on the couch, and then I woke up, and I didn't remember, like, anything, but I just felt, like, so horrible, so I just started drinking again. And then, like, a couple of my friends came over, like, 7 people, and they're all like, you should go to, like, this rehab, that we were like friends with someone who owned a rehab and they're like, just go there for a couple of days. Cause I like was like unwell. Like I just couldn't stop saying, why did he do that to me? Why did he, like, I was on like a one track, like just snapped. And then I got coke because I wanted to do coke before I went to this rehab. Cause I didn't get to do coke yet. And all I can get. And now I realize I'm like, all I could, like, I called this dealer up and he was like, all I have is an 8-ball. And it's like, you could have just broken off a fucking gram, you know? But at the time, I'm like, oh, that's all he has. So I, like, got it, and I was just doing, like, so much coke and, like, putting, like, like we were on our way up to the rehab, like driving, I just put my face in it. Like I'm just like trying to get it into my body as much as I could.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But I was so fucking high when I got there, you know, just like wouldn't stop talking, of course, like didn't sleep, like smoking so many cigarettes. And then I was there for 3 nights and then I got kicked out because so another guy who was there, was a famous actor's son. And he gave me a Valium, and which you're not supposed to do, you know. And then I sucked his dick. It was so small. You love how I prefaced the dick stuff.
Thank you.
So then he told on me. He gave me the Valium.
I bet he didn't tell you that
I know.
Part.
Isn't that weird? He gave me Valium. I sucked his dick, and then he fucking told on
what
me.
What a
and
fucking then, bitch.
I know. And they're like, you have to leave. And they didn't kick him out because he was this, you know.
Yeah. I want to know who it is later.
Yeah. So then I'm and right before that I was trying to get someone to pick me up and I was texting Marilyn Manson and I was like, please pick me up from rehab because we are friends.
Oh, you were? Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say,
yeah. And isn't that funny? I just like love the idea that I was trying to get him to break me out and he was
how are you friends with him?
We just met. Do you remember the ATL twins? Do you know those guys? They were in Spring Breakers. They're like these two twins. They're like in Vice a lot and I met them on Instagram and they invited me over to his house and then we kept in touch and we were friends.
Did you tell him you danced your first ever strip?
Yeah, of course. Okay, of course. Right. Yeah, we hung out and stuff. We kind of went on a date, cuddled under a blanket on his couch and made out and stuff. And he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Okay, but so I was like, break me Marilyn out, break Manson me and out. And he out. Was like, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be the one to do that. Isn't that funny? Because I feel like everyone thinks he's like this crazy person, but he's like a really cool guy. So I get kicked out. My friend picked me up and then I was like, I'm just going to start getting fucked up. So I started drinking. I drank a whole bottle of champagne and then I was trying to find people to give me Coke and no one would give me Coke. Everyone's like, you're sober. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. The only person who would answer was like this fucking loser guy who was like, there was a reality show and he was like the friend of like the person on the show, you know, like that guy, mm-hmm. like just the loser. He's the only one who answered. So he like picked me up in like a convertible and I was so fucking drunk. Like again, I had drank in the whole bottle and we just started doing coke and we went to like the Pikey for some reason. It was like during the day, you know, and we just started doing tons of coke, went back to his place and I did coke for, like, 16 hours straight.
Holy shit.
Which is, like, how much I normally did coke. And then I started coming down really hard. And I felt, like, horrible. And, like, everything started, like, flooding into, like, you know, my head about what went on. So I was like, I want to die. Like, I want... Like, usually when I come down from coke, I want to die. But this time I was like, I'm just going to kill myself. Because I felt, like, so low, you know? I just felt so broken. And I happened to have a Xanax prescription. So I went home after doing the coke, and I took the whole bottle of Xanax, which was, like, 27 pills.
Holy fuck.
And then I was just, like, waiting to die. And then I sent the guy who... my ex an email. And I was like, see you on the other side, like some little like thing. And then he called the cops. I'm grateful he did because I would have probably died, you know?
What started happening?
So literally
what
is 5 minutes later,
Xanax do to your body?
I just blacked out.
You did?
So literally 5 minutes later, the cops show up after I sent the email, like faster than Uber. Like it was so fast. They were so fast. And I hear like a pounding on the door and I'm like, who is it? And like, I'm so fucked up at this point. I just want to go to sleep, you know? And they're like, it's the cops, open up. And I opened up the door and he was holding a gun at me. Isn't that crazy? And I was so fucked up.
Was he worried that you might have been suicidal and had a gun as well?
Or? Yeah, I think something. And then he was just like pointing the gun. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just trying to kill myself. Like, I literally said that too.
I'm just trying to kill myself.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just trying to get attention after a breakup. And then
oh my god.
Yeah.
And then what?
So I'm laying down now, and they like put me back in bed, and they like pricked my finger, I remember. And then I guess they put me on a stretcher and brought me to Cedars, and I don't remember like leaving in the stretcher. And I woke up the next day, like a full day later, and I guess I was like blacked out. They were monitoring me and like bringing me down safely. I didn't have to get my stomach pumped, but they gave me like liquid Ativan and like just monitored my heart rate. And then I woke up in like this other room that had like one other bed in it, and there was like a counter, and like someone was watching me at Cedars. I was like, what happened? You know, I'm just like waking up like Sleeping Beauty, and they're like, you tried to kill yourself. And I was like, no, I didn't. And they're like, no, you did. And because of that, you have to be 5150. And I was like, what is that? And they're like, you have to go to a mental hospital. And I was like, no, I didn't do that. And then they like press this button. And then a guy comes in the room who looks like the transporter. And he's wearing all black, and he had a headset. And they're like, you're going. And I was like, who? I still don't know. I'm like, who was that guy? And all these people like who worked there, they like surrounded my bed, and they're like, you have to go. And I was like, okay, can I go to the bathroom? And they're like, yeah. And then I tried to escape down the hall.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. And then the transporter guy got me, and he's like, come over here. And I got like nervous and I just walked back. And then I was like, can I have my phone? I was like, where am I going? And they're like, Alhambra. Is it Alhambra or Alhambra?
I don't know how to say it. With Al.
Yeah. Alhambra. Alhambra. Yeah. And then they go, you're going to Alhambra Mental Hospital. So I looked it up on my phone, and I go, I don't want to go. It has half a Yelp star. I looked it up on Yelp, and I started hysterically crying. And I was like, please, can I go to UCLA? Like, everyone goes to UCLA. I don't want to go to Alhambra. I'm like, no. And they're like, that's the only place that has a bed. And they're all, I was like, no, it has half a Yelp star. I was like, don't you know who I think I am? And I
don't
got,
you
like,
know who I think I am.
And I got, like, very, like, upper crust suddenly. And I was, like, waspy. And I was, like, acting like a different person. And I was like, I can't go there. I won't. And I had, like, makeup all over my face. And I, like, hadn't showered it. I looked like a crazy crackhead. So then they were like, here's the deal. You have to go there by law, but once you get there, you can get out. And that's just something they tell you to get you there. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I started getting like cocky. And it's like, from an outside perspective, I just looked so mentally ill. Like, so they come, they put me on like a stretcher again. They put me in an ambulance. And there's like a girl who's like standing over me. And she's like, okay, so, you know, we're going to take you here. And I have this thing in my head that I'm going to get out when I get there. So I just start acting like cocky. And I'm like, oh, I got this. You know, it's just like mentally ill. And she was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not going to stay. I'm like, I know what we're doing here. And she was like, okay. And then they just open up the doors, the place. She wheels me in, and I never see her again. They just push me in the bed and fucking leave. So they admit me. And I was supposed to be there for 3 days, but I got out in 2. Because I flirted with the doctor.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. So, like, they have to give you an evaluation. And it really freaked me out beforehand because the girl I was in a room, I was in the room with, like, 2 other girls. And they were fucking, like, I know I felt, like, crazy, but, like, they were legit crazy. Like, I was on the crazy, like, the craziest floor because there wasn't a bed anywhere else. And, like, one of the girls was watching me when I was sleeping the whole night, just, like, standing up watching me like that. And then, like, another girl was, like, moaning in bed, like, I was just like, this is so horrible, you know? And I talked to my dad on the phone, and I started crying because I was really afraid. And my roommates were like, you might not get out for, like, weeks and weeks. Like, we've been here for weeks. Like, the evaluation doesn't matter. Like, they keep you here. So I started crying on the phone to my dad, and he was like, shut up, shut up. He was like, don't cry, don't cry. He was like, show no emotion. And I was like, and I was like worried they were like tapping and listening. I was like, they're going to find out I'm doing this. So basically, I ended up having a meeting with the psychiatrist, and he was asking me about everything, and he was like, well, you tried to kill yourself. And I was like, oh, no, 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 like, that was a mistake in the paperwork, like, they messed up. And I was like, plus I have a really busy life I have to get back to, so if I could just leave, like, I'd appreciate it. And he's like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, I do stand-up. And he was like, I love stand-up. And I was like, you do? And no joke, I, like, hiked up my dress a little, my hospital gown. And I was like, I have to get back to stand-up. And he was like, I'll let you leave now. And I was like, thank you. And then he, like, let me leave a couple hours later. And then when I left, everyone was cheering, she's getting out, she's getting out. Nah. I swear to God, I know that sounds like a scene in a movie.
Yeah, it does.
But it was like, she's getting out, she's getting out. You know, like, have you seen Freaks? When they're like, one of us, one of us. It was like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then back out into the wild.
Yeah, and then I was really fucked up after that, and I felt just really, really broken, and, you know, like, I went back to the Comedy Store.
Does that guy know you went through this shit?
Yeah. He visited me in the hospital, but only because my mom told him to. And I'm like, why would you have him go there? But he brought me food because I wouldn't eat the food there. So he brought me Sweet Lady Jane triple berry cake, bolognese and fries, and like clothes. But like, we never talked again, really. And then we talked a couple of years later, like at the store in the hallway. But like, you know, I couldn't be in the room with him when he was like performing because I didn't want to hear his fucking voice. And like, you know,
yeah,
it was hard. But I had to rebuild myself and like do a lot of self work and stuff. And then I just felt like I'm never going through that again. I'm done with like toxic relationships. And then a couple of months later, me and Steven hooked up for the first time. And we have been friends for like 4 years. And I feel like what's the great part about a relationship is that I was never friends with someone first, you know, like I was always like throwing myself at guys and just being like what I thought they wanted me to be, you know, and not quite being myself really. And like, he knew who I was. He like loved me for me. And like, I think that's why our relationship has been great. And you know, why it's like lasted and why we got married, because we both like knew each other. You know, I think a lot of girls like try to be what they think a guy wants them to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of
yeah.
people. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure guys do yeah. that too.
So now you're in a healthy marriage, yeah. not even relationship. You're in a healthy marriage.
Yeah, we're
everything
trying to have kids.
Good. Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's like you can get cummed in every day for 2 weeks and still nothing happens. So, got to work at that.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's so
I'm like, wait, I could have been doing this
you
whole
just
time.
Said cummed in. My brother one time at a dinner was like, how many times can you cum in a person? He couldn't get over it. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's
yeah. if you don't want it, you'll have it. When you
I
really,
know.
It's not easy.
Because we're like, we're ready. And then yeah. it's like, where are you?
It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to hear your advice that you would give to your 16-year-old self.
Okay. To my 16-year-old self, I would say, I should have thought of this ahead of time, but just like be easy on yourself and everything in life is going to work out, and you just have to just like don't focus on the bullshit. And like, I understand you want to party and get fucked up, but the sooner you stop, the sooner you can get started on what you want to do in life. So, you know, it looks like you're an alcoholic, so you might want to stop. I got told I was an alcoholic when I was 16, but I wasn't ready to stop. So, I think it's just like, don't give a fuck what anyone thinks, and just like get started on work and like figuring out what you want to do. Cause that's like something I regret, like not starting earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had so much fear and I couldn't like do the things that I wanted to do. And, but I think, you know, everything happens as it's meant to happen. So just, you know, try to stay clear of the bullshit and keep it moving and follow your dreams.
That's awesome. Thank you for being here for real and for opening up. You're really funny and, you definitely have no goddamn filter.
I know.
Would you like, again, please promote anything you want?
Great. I have a podcast called The Chelsea Skidmore Show. You can find it everywhere you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. My Instagram is at Chelsea Skidmore. And I have some cool mugshot merch for sale right now. So head on my Instagram and check the shirts out. Oh, and if you need credit card processing, check out my husband, Steven. Steven Randolph 214 on Instagram is my husband. He has a credit card processing, high risk credit card processing. His company is called Aqua Payments. If you are a CBD company who needs an additional solution because Square and PayPal are shutting down, you will need to contact Steven. His number is 818-808-2553. That is Aqua Payments at Steven Randolph. And yeah, that's it. Thank you.
You're I hope that helps. You're very welcome. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.